Okay.
Susie's here.
Thank you, Susie. Teresa, I sense we're getting pretty close to a quorum. Why don't you go ahead and test that theory and call the roll?
All right. All right. Alan is present. Is David on the phone? Not hearing David. Adriana Casaneva?
Present.
Present, thank you. Bill Crozier?
I am here.
Thank you, Bill. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Thank you, Lyndon. Bob Gartner?
Present.
Thank you, Bob. Wally James? I am not hearing Wally. Dwayne Lark? I'm not hearing Dwayne. Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Thank you, Mike. Marianne Martinez? Not hearing Marianne. Paula Miller? Not hearing Paula Miller. Susie Moreno?
Here.
Thank you, Susie. Venetia Patel Adams? Not hearing Patel Adams. Sandra Rawline?
I'm here.
Thank you, Sandra. Nancy Sabar-Naratomi?
Nancy, present.
Thank you, Nancy. Wendy Sherrell? Not hearing Wendy. Deb Shapto? Not hearing Deb Shapto. Markeisha Van Zandt Sampson?
Here.
Thank you. Richard Uzel? I'm not hearing Richard. Rita Washington? Not hearing Rita. Sandy Weinman?
Is present.
Thank you. Ted Weisgull? Not hearing Ted Weisgull. Venetia Williams?
Present.
Thank you. And Egberto Willis? Not hearing Egberto Willis. I believe quorum is 12. One, two, three. So because we do not count David Bass, or do we count Vanessa, David Bass and Markeisha Van Zandt Sampson?
They're ex officio. They're
okay.
Ex officios.
Paula was here earlier. Am I recalling
Paula was here earlier? Who?
Yeah, before you came. Before
Paula.
You came.
Did I just hear Paula? I didn't hear Paula. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We have quorum.
Thank you. Appreciate
that. All right, and I have 641.
Thank you. So we're now in session for the KPFT Finance Committee. Andy Wyman, Chair, and Acting Secretary Teresa Allen. The second order of business behind the roll call is the approval of the agenda. Everybody received that agenda. I just sent it again a couple of minutes ago. Are there any changes or issues with the agenda?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the agenda. This is Sandra.
Okay. Anybody oppose approving the agenda, or anybody want to speak against that?
Mr. Chair, I want to see where the minutes are, when we receive the minutes.
It should have been sent June 10th at 8:01 p.m.
June 10th?
8:01 p.m.,
The minutes or the agenda?
The minutes.
But I sent the minutes out. I sent the minutes out.
Excuse me, Teresa, hang on.
I'm sorry.
June 10th, 8:01 p.m., you received an email with the minutes, the agenda, and a copy of the budget, which you should have already had, the working draft of the budget. All three items were attached to that email.
I'm sorry, the email came from you, Chair?
Yes, from me, yes. if you can find it, Teresa. Can you resend those quickly?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. We'll delay adoption of the minutes. I didn't hear any objection to approving the agenda, so we will move forward with that, and we'll skip directly to item 4, which is Markeisha's report to this committee. Markeisha, you have the floor. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Did you have to roll? This is Carla. I stepped away for a second, but I'm back.
Thank you.
Okay. You're lucky 13. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you.
Markeisha, you have the floor.
Okay. Well, I don't really have that much to report other than, okay. So currently we have about $71,000 cash on hand, which is not really that great, because we're averaging about $60,000 a month in bills, and that does not include our central services amount. The fund drive, which the last day is today, is currently at $87,000, which is, I think, maybe just slightly, maybe a few thousand dollars more than the one in February. But we've all also been in dry for almost 2 months, so I don't know how that's great. Someone asked me last month, I think it was Teresa, about the credit card finance charges. And in 2020, we spent $1,400 on credit card finance charges. That does not, that there are no late fees. That's just the cost of having that money, not paying the balance off every month. Also, Austin, Bill, you asked me about outreach money. What did we budget for outreach? And when I went back and looked at budgets, we don't necessarily budget for that. I think that's just on an as-needed basis. And I couldn't find where we had actually spent any money on outreach as well. So actually, I don't have anything else to report. So, questions?
Nancy with a question.
Sure.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Membership number?
I don't have that. I can get that and send in an email, but I don't have that number.
Thank you.
This is Lyndon to the stack.
Yeah.
Lyndon, go ahead.
Markeisha, hi.
Yes, sir.
I have seen on the financials that we had a tax payment that we made. I think it was like $4,558 in January. I just wanted to confirm with you that was property tax that we paid on the house in La Porte.
That's correct. That is correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And one other thing. Were you asked by the interim executive director to pay that, or did you just think you were doing what had to be done and paid it?
She did. The attorney for, I guess, whoever they hired forwarded, made sure that we had the bills and said that it needed to be paid.
Before we could sell the house, right? Yeah.
Basically, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. So that's
okay.
More money we spent and money we didn't get. And
is
I don't know how much
exactly.
The house actually, I don't know how much the number was. I just know that money, we're not getting it. I know it's been spent, and I don't know what the number was. You probably have that, but I don't.
So again, did the IED have a part in that?
No, it was me communicating with the attorney, but the attorney was hired by the IED.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, Wendy's here. I'm sorry I'm late.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you. Wendy, so you know, Markeisha gave her report, and it's Q&A time. So. Catching you up.
I always miss
Jack
the best part.
He said, Jeff.
Anybody?
Jeff.
Yes, Adriana.
I shake all my nails. In June 1st, and I don't have any email from you on June 1st. I don't know if Teresa has sent again anything, but I don't have it.
June 10, not June 1, June 10.
I'm sorry?
June 10, June 10th.
Oh, June 10th. Sorry. Okay.
Last Thursday, 8:01 p.m. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Mr. Chair? Rita Washington,
yes.
Present. Sorry, I'm having difficulty with this phone and getting in, but I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita. Markeisha, very quickly, based on our current cash position and the fact that we just finished a six-week marathon, when do you anticipate the next fund drive coming along?
I expect we'll be in drive again early August, just like we always do. Yeah. So we'll probably shoot for whatever the first Thursday is in August to start. I'm looking at my calendar. Which is not going to
okay.
be good. August 5th. Yeah, good. So either August 5th or August 12th, we'll probably be back in drive. Yeah.
I believe Teresa just forwarded everybody the minutes again, so you should all have those. Let me just get a sense. Apart from Adriana, who evidently did not see the email, has everybody else reviewed the minutes or had a chance to look at those? Talking about for our May meeting. Well, should I assume that everybody's looked at those May minutes then, apart from Adriana?
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra. I did look over the minutes. To the best of my ability, I would make a motion to approve them.
Okay. Let's. Is there any objection to approving the minutes for May? No objections, then. Would you please call the roll? Or I guess if there are no objections, they're adopted by proclamation. So, Teresa, please record those as adopted without change. Thank you. Thank you for sending those, Teresa, and for generating those. Okay. Are there any further questions for Markeisha on our current state?
I'm sorry, Markeisha, what did you say? This is Rita Washington. What did you say our expenses were monthly? Did you tell us?
It's about $60,000 a month that we run on expenses. That does not include central services, though.
Okay.
But we should,
and our income
we should
for the
be current. Say that again.
And our income for the month is normally about what?
Income for the month has been, it's been running really not so good, sometimes 20, sometimes 30, sometimes less, and that's grand. Since we're in drive, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Markeisha, this is Venetia.
Yes, ma'am.
But clarification, I just need this for my own clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Every dime that comes in during fund drive, or if I write me a check to KPFT, it's going to KPFT's bank account. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Markeisha, do you know how much each month approximately comes in as sustainers?
I do not. I can find that out, though. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be great.
I would say it's somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000, I think, but I can find it.
Oh, okay. I think I've always felt like we could up that, you know, if we made a concerted effort, and I'd like to talk to the development committee about maybe helping with that, do a sustainer campaign of some kind, because this is exactly the kind of stuff that it's great for, because, you know, just to keep you going in the middle of things. And we can make the pledge drives fun if we had enough. We have so low of a percentage of our donors as sustainers, and a lot of them would go for it.
Do you know that that's like a billion-dollar, million-dollar business, people that sustain? And I don't mean that everybody forgets, but people that give
right.
to places or and they just keep giving and they never turn it off because they forget about it.
Yeah, and it's even like all the different little organizations that you used to be a member for whatever amount per year. Now they all want to get you to give them $5 a month instead, and you know that's easy to do $5 a month usually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, if you could find that out, I would love you for that, and we'll get
all right,
going
I will
on
let
it.
You know.
All right. Thank you.
That's a very good point, Wendy. I'm glad you raised that. And yes, a campaign around more sustainers is great. We get enough of them, we don't even have to do pledge drives, theoretically.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
There's other public stations that have like 70% of their donations on monthly sustainers, you know. So then they just have these interesting funds, pledge drives, to get new members. Those are for the new members. So, anyway, okay, thank you.
Right. Okay. Lyndon, you're on the line here. I just want you to restate.
Dwayne Marks of the Stack.
Yeah, did you hear, Dwayne?
I did. Thank you, yes. Go ahead, Dwayne, before I get to Lyndon.
Well, first off, I'd like to be Mark's present. Second.
Yes, I have you.
Markeisha, could you, in your due diligence, check with whomever you need to check with, whether it's Robin or what have you, to try to find out some historical facts about these numbers as it relates to sustainers. I've been on the board for at least 10 years now, and I know we had at least triple or quadruple that amount of sustainers and others who refer to what other stations do. I think the point would be other stations have 10 times as many employees to do it. More important, I think that there's a reason why the sustainers stopped sustaining in the first place. And whether it was programming, whether it was whatever it might be, to have a program, have an effort to go out to get sustainers, but not having a program or a process to sustain the sustainers probably would be problematic. So if you could find out 5 years ago what the sustaining number was on the average per month compared to now, I think what that will show us is that we have not had the personnel to follow up with the sustainer. And if we are going to be successful, since we like to compare ourselves with what other stations do, we'll have to allocate and appoint someone on payroll to make that happen.
Okay, I'll find out.
I was talking about helping, too.
You're Bob Gardner. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Markeisha, what we do about sustainers other than perhaps announce it on the air? Are there any kind of correspondences sent out or in the solicitation letters that about which Ted brought up some things in an email recently? Is there any mention of sustainment? When there's a solicitation for sending in a donation?
I believe so. I'm trying to visualize what it looks like. But, yes, I think you can check a box and say ongoing, never ending or something like that. And we do have people. And then you have to give your bank account info. Well, you can do bank account or credit card, but we highly suggest the bank account because – you know, credit cards expire, and then that's when we usually lose people because there's nobody to follow up with them to get the new credit card information. So, yes,
in this new system, do you still have that thing where it'll check the credit cards and update them?
It does, but still that there needs to be, I guess, we need to still grow that, and it's not been.
Oh,
so,
I know.
Yeah.
It's all a matter of not enough people. Dwayne's right, you know.
Right.
Anybody else for the stack here?
Lisa for the stack.
Go ahead, Lisa.
This is Teresa.
I got
you. Do we have anyone calling lapsed donors?
No.
I'm waiting for Robin.
Adriana, you're next.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, but the question is for you. Do we know that the GM, Mr. Baez, will not be here today?
All I can tell you is earlier in the day he was at the transmitter. I don't know if he's still out there or not. So he may just be tied up with that stuff. I really don't know.
Okay, he didn't communicate with you that he couldn't be here.
Well, earlier in a few days back, he indicated he would be here. But as I said earlier today, I know that things were up and down at the transmitter briefly, or he was installing some equipment. Can't tell you exactly, but he may still be out there. I don't know. He's not here. I do know that. Maybe Markeisha can tell us. I don't.
Dwayne Lark to the set.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
I can recall that this committee demanded that the previous IGM be on every call, including Markeisha. So for you to flippantly and casually say you don't know, it's unacceptable, because we have a new manager here that says he's doing a whole lot of different things to move things along, and finance happens to be the number one thing, although programming seems to be number one to him right now. So that should be a better explanation, because you can be on the telephone on your way from the transmitter or wherever else to answer questions. And I just want to try to be consistent and fair. And right now I don't see it. I don't see it when the numbers were given, for instance, of $70,000, a $60,000 raise in a two-month period. You were all over, Judon.
Hey, Dwayne.
No, let me speak. Because what I'm saying,
Dwayne,
the public has a right to hear, and the public has a right to know that you're being inconsistent in this cavalier attitude you have when it comes to what you're doing with this finance committee.
Dwayne, I
respectfully request that you call the member out of order.
I did call
the member.
You can't call me out of order because he's given me the floor, in case you don't know parliamentary procedure. And because I'm fighting that you're not being fair and you're not being consistent.
You are discussing something that is not germane to this topic.
But the fact of the matter is, you don't get to make that determination, lady. So you're the one interrupting me and being disrespectful. And I didn't disrespect you or anyone else on this call. So you're not going to have that privilege, that special privilege of interrupting me because you don't like what I'm saying. But I'm putting on
Dwayne,
the record.
It's not a fact, Dwayne. It's
I'm
not
putting
a
on the record that you guys were
saying.
Consistently
I
on Judon Boney because he did
all
not
right,
raise a certain amount of money. And Mr. Baez has had an inordinate amount of time to get things in order, and he's raising even less than what Judon Boney raised during a certain period. And you're being inconsistent, unfair, but you don't want to call that prejudice and racism.
It's a progression, Dwayne. And
yeah, it's a progression, all right. It's called special privileges for white people. That's what it's called.
Hey,
oh, my God.
Hey. We're having a meeting on finance. And, you know, Dwayne, this is really out of order. You want to talk to me afterwards?
It's always out of order when y'all get called out for your racism. That's always out of order. Nobody's ever a racist in this country. No matter what you do, that's inconsistent toward a black man or a white man. It's never racist.
You're being the racist, Dwayne.
How the hell can I be racist and I don't have any power to do anything to you? You're the chair. All you white folk got all the power in the world. How the hell can I be racist? Racist is when you have power to do something to people. I could be friendly, but I can't be racist.
Member.
That's such an idiotic thing I've heard in my life.
Adriana?
Does somebody have David Bay's phone number?
Mr. Chair, I would
David
like.
Bay?
Adriana?
Yes, Adriana, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's why I'm sorry that this became this way, but I was really worried because we have in the agenda talking about the budget, and it's absolutely true. Last year we couldn't call meetings if the general manager wasn't present. I think that we have the right. We have a new preliminary budget. I want to hear from him about
slow down, Adriana. Slow down for me, please. Markeisha, are there any changes that have been made to the budget since last month?
Well, I took out some pertinent details to personnel. Of course, that water cooler, the water cooler was picked up, so we're not going to be paying for that anymore. No, because we'd already taken internet out. So it's just personnel things and that one small change about the water cooler.
Okay, so let me be clear. When I asked about change to the budget, I don't mean, you know, month-over-month expenses, which decreased as a result of personnel changes and less equipment, a.k.a. the water cooler, and maybe changes to the internet. But I mean to the draft budget that this committee is currently reviewing. So
right.
We're looking at
Yes, and we need to figure out, because we're still in the red, so we need to know how we're going to, what changes we're going to make to get us out of the red. So.
Okay, but those changes have not yet been made. I guess my point being
No, we need to discuss that.
Okay, so the 2022.
I will be able to finish. Let me know.
Thank you. So the 2022 budget spreadsheet that you have currently is still our working draft. Okay.
Yes, it is. It is still a working draft.
Thank you. Go ahead, Adriana. Thank you.
That was exactly what I was trying to say. When we are projecting, we are trying to make the budget for next year, I think that it's very important that we can ask the general manager, because I see that the numbers are really so low. And I want to know about what he thinks, what his opinion, what he thinks that can be done. You know, without that, what is the sense of discussing a budget when we cannot ask the general manager what he thinks about the progression, what he thinks about the money that is coming in, what are the ideas? That's
well,
because
we have Marquisha.
May I finish? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Let me know when what I'm saying is we have Marquisha, but Marquisha is the business manager. She's not in charge of the money coming in. And what I see in the budget that we keep cutting and cutting and cutting, I think that we cannot cut anymore. We need to have, obviously, we don't have practically employees. We cannot cut anymore. Then I want to have a conversation that makes sense. Think what we will do, because we have to do something. And I want to know, that's why for me it's important. The business manager is very important, but the ideas about how this will be changed is not in the business manager court. It's in the general manager one. Okay? That's why I ask why he's not here,
right,
or if he's in a specific
Adriana, I don't have an explanation for you. As I said, all I know is that there was some work being done earlier in the day. It might continue. I don't know. You can't control other people.
No, I understand perfectly.
Are other people going to get to say anything?
That's why I asked you if there was anything that you knew about it. That's why I asked. I know that
all
it's
right,
not
well,
up to you.
I just texted David. Hopefully he'll respond. So, you know, we'll see. Look,
and Bill's still
there's
on
a lot
tech.
In. Okay, Bill, thank you. There's a lot in flux here as far as the 2022 budget goes. And getting a read on this, getting an accurate read, is really difficult. A lot of circumstances, including the building going up for sale. Bill, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Well, first, just I assume that Marquisha talks to David. So, you know,
I am
we can ask
here.
Marquisha questions just as well as we can ask David. And she can ask one question.
I am here.
Oh, okay.
I am here. We had lightning at the transmitter again.
Okay. Well, anyway, my question, though, was for Marquisha anyway.
David is now on the call. Okay.
Yeah. So my question was for Marquisha anyway. And for the income statement, are those figures reflected in the budget? Because it has year-to-date, but it doesn't have, I don't believe, the individual months. Just wondering if the budget is accurate as far as through March, at least, in terms of actuals.
Through March, it is correct. That's the last income statement Meta has provided.
Okay.
They're behind on preparing them because of the audit. So, but you know, that takes precedence. So,
yeah. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, David is now on the call. Dwayne Lark, Adriana, you have questions? Here he is.
I would hope I would have questions for him. Like I said, when Judon Bonney was on the call, there were 15 people had questions for him as it relates to the amount of money that's been raised over the last 6 months
Once again, Dwayne, we're not talking about when Judon Bonney and 15 people are on the call.
No, I get
we're talking
to talk about it. You're not talking about it, but I get to talk about it.
We're talking about June 2021.
Very recent fact. And I understand y'all like to make up your own facts and you don't like folks to say certain things, but I serve this country for free speech. I serve this country so that we will be able to say what we want to say when we want to say it. And you're not going to stop me.
What did you serve him? A Big Mac and fries? Come on, man. We're having a meeting here. You can disrespect my service if you want to, you idiot.
But the fact of the matter is, those of us who were willing to die for this country so people would have the right to say what they want to say when they want to say it, some people respect that.
Patel Adams is present.
Mr. Chair, this is Teresa.
Please mark me present. This is V. Patel Adams.
I have by Patel Adams. Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. David, do you have any plans? I'm assuming you have read the budget. Do you have any plans to hire anyone who would call lapsed donors?
I am working with Markeisha to decrease the amount of money that we're spending at the moment so we are able to build enough in the budget to be able to get somebody to assist in membership.
Well, were you aware, David, that last year... And the assistant to the membership resigned to take another position, that we got permission from the national board to hire someone. And I guess I might...
I understand.
Were you aware of that?
I am aware of that. And as of right now, until we get the internet and everything completely shut down, which will leave a little bit of money to do that, we are still waiting for the pledges all to come in, make sure we get the bills paid, and then we can move forward with that. But as of right this moment, Markeisha and I have not gotten to the point where there's any wiggle room.
Susie to the stack.
Okay. Well, I guess the last point I would be happy to talk to Markeisha or talk to you about techniques for calling lapsed donors, because I think that calling lapsed donors would pay for itself. And when I did call I spoke for about an hour to someone in membership, and she said that they had there most of their time calling people before their memberships lapsed. And I think that it's just like we're just like letting water go down the toilet. We're just losing major opportunities there with lapsed donors. Thank you for your time. And I'd be happy to talk to anybody about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Susie Moreno, did I hear you?
Yes. I just had a question because I know that you and Robin are working on trying to set up a system so that hopefully other board members would be able to call big dollar donors that have not been donating. Would this lapsed donors also be considered in the same category to where I know Robin told me that y'all need to set up a system because you cannot give these numbers to just anybody. So if I can't call some of these high dollar donors because of the information that
that y'all want to protect. Wouldn't that be the same thing with the lapsed donors?
Yes, and Robin will set it up where you're able
okay.
to do those.
Okay.
Okay. That's what she's working on. Yes.
Okay. So that would be under the same category, and so she is working on it, on setting up a system. I know she said that there was somehow where those phone numbers would be made so that we wouldn't be the ones that get the people's names and their phone numbers. Is that correct?
Yes.
So this would also be the same thing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And ideally, you'd also want the number on the caller ID to be a KPFT number. I don't know how hard that is now that we don't have a radio station, but that makes it better, too, if it's KPFT on their caller ID.
Yeah, Markeisha and I are working on a VoIP system that will take over for the main line.
Adriana?
Okay.
Thank you. Just before I get to Adriana, I was just glancing at Allegiance. The drive is now up to $96,000, so it's a little bit better.
Oh, congratulations. Good job.
Yeah. So almost 50%, almost. Go ahead, Adriana. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Hi, David. What I see, did you work in the budget before, because I can see, compare this budget, because the last year that was really, really bad, the worst that we ever had since I remember, but I can see that the projection that we have from this year is even $50,000 less that would have in 2020. And we have, the projections are as bad as 2020. I don't know. Do you think that is anything that can be done? Because, I mean, the projections are, if we are projecting this, I don't see how can we get really what we need. I mean, it's something that needs to be changed that there. I don't see. The projections show like $41,000 net loss in the 2022, I mean, the next budget. I don't know. That's trying to see if I can see the total numbers, but that is what has come up. Do you think, because my idea of the budget is obviously need to be in a way realistic, but we need to talk about what we have to do and what we need to bring in revenues, because if not, like I said before, we cannot cut anymore. I know that. It's almost impossible to keep cutting because you don't have any more things to cut. It means the only option is have more revenue. Okay. And how do you think that we can do that? You think that playing music the whole day will raise us money? Or do you think one important thing for me to say or to ask, and I want your opinion on that, is I believe that a lot of people, at least is my experience with the people, the listeners that I talk to, one of the problems is that we are again, by second time in a row, 2 years in a row, we are again trying to spending a bunch of money in another bylaw, try to change the bylaws. And I believe that a lot of people are not willing to put money till this is finished. That is what I believe. But, well, yeah. I want to have opinions on that. Because if not, it's like wasting money, you know, and I put myself on that. I will not put money for somebody else to do what they are trying to do, obviously.
Ted, for the stack.
Do you have an opinion on that, David?
When it comes to the money that they're spending on, you know, bylaws and stuff like that, I have no control over that, none whatsoever. The only thing that we have going in our favor right now is with the building being up for sale, from the time that we close that building down 100% to the point that we get into a new building, the only bills that we will technically have between the two buildings would be the transmitter at the Huntsville. And so what my question is, that time in between the two...
I cannot understand you. Sorry.
You were breaking up, David. Can you repeat, David?
All right, Adrian. What did you talk?
Okay, so I can't control anything that goes above us. That's something we can't control. However, with the building going up for sale, from the point that it gets sold and we get it shut down completely, it is going to take time to relocate. And so my hope is that because we won't be paying electric, we won't be paying gas for a period of a couple of months at least, and the only thing we'll have to take care of is the tower and, you know, perhaps, you know, an internet bill, one internet bill or two for Huntsville, is that I'm hoping that we'll be able to at least get our feet on solid ground before, and we find a really good deal on a new location that will keep the cost down even more than where we're at now. And it's just going to be a slow build. I mean, when you go down to zero, it's hard to rebuild, and we just have to do it 1 month at a time. That's all we can do.
Thank you, David.
Ted, for the stack.
Yes, go ahead, Ted. Please mark Ted Weiskel present. Therese?
I will.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ted.
David, would you please address the bylaw regarding town hall meetings and how that might come into play regarding finances?
Well, I think any time that we get the word out, that would help. Absolutely. So if people in the public have great ideas and thoughts and ways to accelerate what we're trying to do, I absolutely believe in, you know, being able to do those things. So I have no problems with town hall meetings.
How much airtime would you give to the promotion of one?
As long as I know about it ahead of time, I can give it as much time as it needs.
Okay.
But it would have to be set in advance, and it would have to go through, you know, the proper channels, however you guys set those up, and then we can put something on that says the date, the time, the location, and, you know, just remember that it typically takes people about 2 to 3 weeks for to really, you know, hear it, understand it, and know what they need to do. So just keep that in mind when you're putting it together.
Sandy, I would like to come out of this meeting with a report that includes our desire to get the board to agree to a date in August, no later than September, for a town hall meeting and for a committee to be formed to find the location and develop a PSA and to make sure that the event is a date that will be one David can be present. In August or September. I guess I'm putting that out as a motion. The formality is not necessary in this meeting. If nobody objects, I would hope that would come out of this committee with a unanimous recommendation.
Therese for the stack.
Thank you, Ted. Go ahead, Therese.
And Bill.
Ted, can you show me, Ted, do you have any evidence or facts that show a direct correlation between the number of town hall meetings and income generated for community radio stations?
Are you suggesting that by having one, it would have a negative effect on income? I don't think so.
My question, Ed. The question was, do you have any evidence that shows a direct correlation between town hall meetings and income generated for community radio stations?
No, I just think it's common sense that it would stimulate interest both in terms of people putting in sweat equity as well as money. And furthermore, it's mandated in the bylaws, and we haven't had one in the past year for obvious reasons. But now it's time.
Thank
point
you,
of order, Nancy. Hey, Deanna.
Yeah.
And Bill, can you hear me?
Hold on. Yeah, hold on, Bill. What's your point of order, Nancy?
Point of order. We, the LSB, voted to have the next town hall meeting on the air, live. And so I know it's probably a challenge, but I think it's technically possible, but we'd have to ask Otis McClay's help. Also, I just want to make a little correction. And I want to make a question of what Kit.
We're kind of drifting off topic. While it's a good idea to hold town hall meetings, in fact, they're mandatory.
No, we voted, Sandy. We voted
for
a town hall meeting on the air.
We don't need a recommendation out of this committee, do we?
Yes, and I wanted to correct what Ted said. We haven't had a town hall since May of 2019, I believe. That's all.
Thank you, Nancy. Who's on the stack?
Bill,
were you next?
Okay, yeah, thank you. Well, whether it's in person or virtual or on the air or whatever, maybe a appropriate recommendation from this committee would be that the town hall meeting have as an important part the getting increased donation. And I think that can be by focusing on good and new stuff about KPFT that people may not know about. The program schedule is one example, but, you know, we've got a lot of other things that we're, you know, that David's been fixing and, you know, plans for the future. And, of course, solicit other ideas and suggestions from people for the future. It doesn't help if it's just going to be a complaining session that discourages people from donating. So I think we need to let people know about the positive stuff and have the important goal is to increase donations and memberships and sustainers. Be talking about how to, you know, sign up as a sustainer, for example, at the town hall meeting. So I guess it's a motion. Can we make that as part of the town hall meeting?
I'm not sure that this committee is really responsible for scheduling or setting the agenda for town hall meeting.
Yeah, it's just a recommendation from the committee that this committee would recommend that the next town hall meeting have as an important part of it to be increasing revenue.
This
if we want a town hall,
I'll second that.
If we want a town hall meeting focused on revenue, that would be part of. I could see where it would be totally germane to this committee. Can someone write out a motion, please? Since we have no written motion, Ted, would you like to take a stab at that and send that on?
I can write some up if you want.
The town hall meetings are mandated to address listeners' wants, needs, and concerns. And certainly one of our needs is money. So
no question.
We can't tell people what they can and cannot say, positive or negative, no matter how much some members of this body want to focus only on the positive.
Adriana, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's a part, but what we need to, town hall meeting means something, and the meaning is, it's not for us to tell people what they should think, it's for us receiving the community that's supposed to be our listeners and let us know, like Ted said, what they think that we need, if we are really fulfilling the needs of the community or not. it's not for us to dictate to people whatever. I understand that we need to be more open and allow the community to let us know what their opinions are, because we are a community radio. If we take the community out of the community radio, we have nothing. The town hall is to allow the listeners to come and talk in whatever they want. Obviously, the more people that come, the more that we have the option to try to make them donate too. But couldn't be that the idea of the town hall is a raising money. That's not what a town hall meeting is. And we should read our bylaws that talk very clearly about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Wendy?
And Jill has documented.
I had a better way to start this, but I'm wondering, first of all, if anybody has specifically that language that's in the bylaws that talks about town hall meetings, because I don't read it myself as being exclusively that we're not allowed to call a town hall a meeting if we're just asking people. If we have an event where people come and talk about the radio station of course can allow what they're needing from the public as well, and of course there will be time to talk about what the public wants from the radio station. But I don't think people are understanding how far down we have gone. When I first came to work, when I worked there in 2003, we made at least $25,000 every day in our pledge drives, and we had a cume of 150,000 listeners a week. It was a lot of work. We, you know, worked really hard, put a lot of new shows on the air all at the same time, and still managed to keep almost all of the old shows. But this is how there was a whole lot of participation from all kinds of people, and just the fact that we don't even have a central gathering place has affected it so much. I mean, if we don't have a radio, if we can't get some more infrastructure and funding in place, then we're not going to be able to do any of the things that the public wants. And so I just wish people would kind of relax for a second and let's get the funding up so we can do something, like exist. And it's just
Wendy,
really so frustrating.
You asked
yeah.
for the
Dwayne Martin, stay.
I can read.
Please,
what
Dwayne, don't just tear me up.
No, I want to read you what the bylaw said, that is our powers and duties like LSB, Article 7, said H, to conduct town hall-style meetings at least twice a year devoted to hearing views, needs, and concerns. That is what the bylaw
said. Okay.
And I was on the stack, I think, the way
you're
on I was again.
Okay. Never mind. I'll just be quiet.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is Teresa. You know, Wendy Schrill had the floor, I believe, and I think that Adriana Casane was out of order to interrupt her, even if she was reading
okay,
something.
Okay, all right. Teresa,
it's okay.
Yeah. Let's move on. Let's move forward. I have Bill and then Dwayne.
Thank you. Well, you know, if we want to get to the bylaws, the same part of the bylaws, same section also says that LSPs are supposed to be helping with station fundraising activities. And so I don't see anywhere in the bylaws where it says you cannot combine that with listening to listeners' views, needs, and concerns. It seems to be an ideal place if you're going to get listeners talking about what they're interested in. Let's give them some information and, you know, encourage them to donate so that we can do more of whatever they want. Or about the program,
we don't want
to cost
the
money.
Hello?
There's no contradiction, in other words.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
we don't
I'm
want
sorry.
To stay.
Thank you, Reed. I had Wayne, you're next.
Okay, thank you, Sandy.
Dwayne Law.
Okay. First off, Jess, if he's still on the line, because two town hall meetings are mandated by the bylaws, there's no need for a motion. In fact, I give Ted some credit. He needs some credit sometimes. Ted produced, along with several of the rest of us, one of the largest attended town hall meetings in the history of KPFT. About 75 people, yeah, that's the largest. About 75 people assembled at what was then CWA Hall downtown, which is Communications Workers of America Union Hall. And that was a cross-section of the community. And for us to not understand, the CAP has information that they have collated on our behalf to find out what people want. And you can't say, well, let's raise money and then we'll have the money to do what people want. That's not how it works. You got to find out what people want to hear. And then when they hear what they want to hear, that's how you will raise additional money. You can't continue to anglicize the grid and then claim that you're taking black and brown shows off because they're not raising money. When in fact, the grid has been 80% Anglo for the last 100 years, and it's still losing money. There was $1.6 million budget when I joined this foundation, this KPFT board, in 2010. We're down to $800,000, and you can't blame that on black and brown shows. You can't blame that on public affairs because music has been very strong, and Anglo shows have been very strong. But my larger point would be that what we need to take a look at, let's get off of this town hall business because that's already authorized. You don't need a motion. And if you want to have finance and you want to be together, fine. Nobody's going to argue against asking people for money. People have asked for money at these town halls. They have to ask, and people donate. People sign up for membership. That's no problem. Just get the people in the seat or get people on the call. And I'll leave it at that.
Point of personal privilege, Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Could you ask whoever's making all that noise to mute their phone?
Yes, thank you, Nancy. I was about
please,
to do that.
Please.
It only happens when
yeah.
I speak.
Sounds like someone is either out in the wind or moving the phone around. If you're not speaking, please mute. That's common courtesy. Thank you for that. Okay, Rita, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. David, I think, first of all, thank you for being with us. And Markeisha, like I said, I think you guys are doing a great job. Regarding this town hall and the fundraising, look, we all have the same goal in mind, or I hope we have the same goal in mind. And that is to raise funds for KPFT. So we should be working together. It could have various components, the town hall. We could have booths, somebody doing membership. We can have someone else just doing donations. We don't have to limit the town hall to one particular thing. We've got to start expanding our vision, our notion of what things should be. You could also have the opportunity for the listeners and the community to come and tell us what they would like. You can also have the opportunity for us to show as board members that we're united with KPFT. We're doing all that we can to make it the best station. It's up to us. But for us to continue to bicker and, oh, it should be this or that, why can't it be all of those things and be a very positive event? And it can do that if we don't continue to look at our own agendas, but put the agenda of KPFT at the forefront of what we do.
Hear, hear.
I listen, and rarely do I say anything, and it's because I feel like this is not what we're doing. Yes, I think all of those things that you mentioned are important, but we also have to realize, bottom line, we want KPFT to survive. And to do that, we have got to work together. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rita.
Thank you,
very
Rita.
Well said.
Teresa for the stack.
Okay, Teresa. David, you said something very interesting about the building going up for sale on a period of time when we're going to be, let's say, in between and having the opportunity to cut our budget. Would it not be advantageous to work on a plan, a budget, that this committee can consider? In other words, take what we have and modify it, considering that circumstance. And the probability looks pretty great at this point of that circumstance happening, so that we have something realistic as we enter 2022.
Right, and I think that that can absolutely happen once I have a better time frame, and I've worked with the powers that be in knowing from the point that we sell to the point that, you know, money arrives to the point that we can do certain things. That'll give me an idea of how many months we're talking about. Because with having to rebuild studios, put in, you know, new equipment due to a lot of it being ruined by, you know, the mold and stuff, I think that the volunteers would be much happier being able to sit down in a, you know, a nice, clean control room with, you know, equipment that they can use easily. And so these aren't things that we can just do overnight. It does take a little bit of time. But during that time, between the buildings, I really believe that we can, you know, we'll be down to a very minimum amount we have to pay out versus what we're doing now. And so during that time, I don't know if we can maybe come up with like a mini pledge maybe or something along those lines, you know, that just tells people, hey, you know, we're moving. You know, we need all the help we can get. Now is the time. And then instead of all that money running out the door to pay the bills that we normally have, we're actually building it up. So as we get into this new building, we're standing on our feet and we're not behind the eight ball. We're actually trying to stay in front of it.
That's like a capital campaign.
Kind of, yeah. But I don't have an exact time frame on from the point that the building sells, because that's kind of a wild card, to the point that, you know, Pacifica and the National Board get all the papers done that they need to do, and for that money to return, and so we were able to look for a different building. There's just a lot of different variables in this. And I know that Sandra and Lyndon and Dwayne are on top of it, and they will let me know the exact time frames in which we can move things. That is what they do, and that is what they do the best. So I count on them to be able to give us that time frame, and once we do, we can really ramp things up, and you know, that's the point where I think we can make the most good, because we won't have as many bills going out.
I think that makes sense.
So wait.
Thanks, David. So I guess what I'm asking is,
Mr. Sarah, this is Sandra.